As you revisit your case brief during the spring and do some revising and rewriting, do a little bit more research and thought, there are a few things I'd like to talk about with you. Think of this as sort of a consultation. In your analysis in the first part, I really appreciate some of the questions you're asking. Those are good directive questions. Sometimes asking a series of questions like that doesn't really advance things. But the questions you ask and the way you ask them really do. The proposal that puts reconciliation and transformation at the core early on, I think that's very strong. I think that it needs to show up more decisively in throughout your brief, that you could find ways perhaps to keep referring back to that a little more frequently and a little more deeply, so that we could see more clearly how those features are inspiring you, norming you as you think about things. For example, when you talk about dealing with ANSA, well, how do the interventions that you propose, or the kind or nature of intervention that you propose, being normed by this vision of reconciliation and transformation? I don't think it would be that hard to make those connections, but it would be helpful to see them a bit more transparently in your narrative. In the theological framework section, you make some great productive assertions. I wish you would develop them a bit more argue them a bit. You can't argue every single point in a brief of this length, of course, but there are some key assertions there that I think need to be undergirded a bit more, argued a bit more, developed. It's not as clear as it could be how that they end up norming what you do throughout the brief, and I think if you could make that more explicit, that would be helpful. The metaphors that you use for church are very nice. Again, it would be nice to develop those a bit more from a biblical, theological standpoint. I would guess there are secondary resources that you could refer to, point people to, that would say, these are metaphorical associations that are developed at length elsewhere, and you sort of point people to some sources to indicate that you know where you might go to unpack the significance of those metaphors a bit more deeply. I'd love to see you develop more the connection between God's mission as you see it, the reconciliation and transformation mission, and the nature of community, the nature of church in general, and this church in particular. You imply some things about that, and I'd love to see you spotlight that a bit more and develop it. So I'm looking for more development. I keep using that word. That's natural, I suppose, as you redraft something to think about the ways in which you can deepen and develop more fully some of what you've done. You presume some multicultural priorities, that being multicultural in a multicultural environment is naturally the way to go. And I think you need to deepen your justification for that and defend that a bit. You sort of disagree, you say, with the homogeneous unit principle, but I'm not sure what you mean exactly. Do you disagree with its conclusion that homogeneous, churches grow better in numerical terms, or are you accepting that conclusion, but disagreeing with the aim, or the perhaps the limitations that come in when a church has that at its aim? I'm not entirely clear what it is that you're disagreeing with, and certainly not with why. You don't want to spend much time developing the pros and cons about the HUP. You say that in the paper, but I think you're going to need to develop it a bit more. You're going to need to engage some Gavern material and argue that out a bit, because it's a significant point. More, what kind of growth are we looking for? What kind of transformation? How would you gauge that transformation? How does reconciliation manifest itself? I mean, those are the points you make. God is up to reconciliation and transformation, and that the community is serving that end. So what does that look like? Can't it look like more people? And if so, then wouldn't you want to adopt the strategies that would result in more people in a particular church? If not, why? I would love to see you employ some more secondary sources in the biblical area, in the biblical theological area. You've got some good insights from Scripture, and it would be nice to sort of fortify them and back them up with commentaries and works on some of the topics that you're dealing with in biblical theology. It would be helpful if you said a little bit more about what you think Bruce's role should be generally. I mean, to write in such a way when you're talking about Bruce that we can see something about what your vision for ministry is, your theology of ministry, theology of ministers, even what it means to pursue that kind of vocation for a person like Bruce. It's not a paper about that per se, but again, it's helpful to the reader to catch a glimpse of these things that you've thought through sort of in the background as they show up on the surface level of the text. So think about that, and think about ways to make your understanding of a theology of ministry and ministerial leadership, in other words, Bruce's role, how to make that a little more clear to the reader. Again, thinking about your prescriptions, trying to make it more explicit how they're growing out of your theological foundation would be helpful. And I'd love to see you be a bit less hypothetical in your prescriptions. It's important that you prescribe some concrete steps, and you do that. It's okay to be hypothetical as you think about the future, you know, what may step 2, 3, 4 be, or depending on this discovery we make regarding this or that piece, or depending on how people respond to this or that intervention, then we may do these other things. It's okay to speak hypothetically when you're dealing with that. But for this brief, you need concretely to sort of tell Bruce what to do as his next steps. And I would rephrase some of those things then and make some decisive moves in regard to Bruce's next steps, and then bring in some of the more hypothetical or more generalized things as things for him to consider or to keep in mind or to move on for the future. Scrounge around for some more pastoral resources that Bruce can use as you think about the kinds of things he might do. Where will he go to find help with that? With the conflict resolution, with the teaching and preaching that you want him to do, with the leadership formation that you're hoping he can do. Do what you can, poke around as best you can to find some sources that would be helpful for Bruce. What would you recommend for him? The writing style is pretty good. It's a pleasure to read what you've written. You made a really nice use of subheads, which are themselves interesting and inviting. There are a few errors. It's important to go ahead and you know, do final proofs. There is occasionally a bit of trouble with number disagreement. For example, humanity is not a them. I know this is difficult, especially when you're trying to use gender-inclusive language, but you know, this is sort of what we're stuck with. Humanity's not a them, it's an it, unless you're using British English where there are more pluralized generic forms, but that's not what we have in America. So little things like that to pay attention to, but there are not very many of those kinds of things. Occasionally you do some meta speak, that is, you say what you're going to say, or that you are going to say a certain kind of thing, and then you say it. Or this tends to happen at the beginning of sections and the beginnings of paragraphs, and that can be okay, but it's better if your thesis sentence at the beginning of the paragraph doesn't just set us up for what you're going to do, but actually does it. So struggle with that a little bit in your writing style. As I've said many times, the only good writing is rewriting. You know, that's a slogan that gets repeated a lot in writing circles. So I'm just offering some suggestions about some of the things you might target in your revisions, but honestly, just continuing to rewrite and revise with economy in mind, to say more using less as you continue to revise towards your portfolio review. It would be good for you to go back over the questions of the case at the end of the case, or go onto the blog site, the GST Pathway site, and have a look at those instructions again. Look at all the instructions, but especially focus on those prescribed questions. Read over them, look at each sentence, and say, okay, how well have I answered this? To what extent would it be fairly easy for a reader reading my brief to be able to say back to me what my answer to this question is? Obviously, you're not trying to answer them one after the other like you're responding to a test, but it should be possible for a reader to sift through your brief and get a sense of what your answers are to those questions, and then also what your rationale and justification are for your answers, and what theological framework you are giving those answers within. So go back over the questions and have a think about that. Obviously, anything you can do to expand your list of secondary resources will be useful. And to make it more clear how those secondary resources are shaping what you're doing, or represent challenges to what you're doing, some of the argument with them can be done in footnotes. But take advantage of the coursework you're doing this semester to expand the secondary resources that you're applying to this brief. Some of your courses and some of your readings will be helpful, and bring those things in as you revise your brief in the upcoming weeks.